talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that.
Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. In Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And a very sad directive from Megan Wolf, the executive director of the Wisconsin Election Commission. I don't think she had any choice, but this is very sad. She's a very good executive director. Wisconsin Election Commission is deadlock 3-3, Democrat-Republican. The Democrats, when they come out with a vote on a directive, it's inclusive. It's the trying to maximize voting around the state in all parties, in both parties. The Republicans have done everything in their power in the Wisconsin Election Commission to make it more difficult to vote. That's the problem. Well, now the issue came up. Now, you would think this is a no-brainer. Two questions. And you're not going to believe this. All right, there are no drop boxes now because of the Republican Supreme Court. But how about mailboxes? Can you mail somebody else in your household's ballot along with your own? Can you take the mail and mail your mother's ballot for her along with your own? Your wife's, your children, whatever, a neighbor. And number two, regardless of the answer to that question, what if the person is handicapped? Can they hand you their ballot and say, please mail this, and then you go down to the post office, which is secure, and mail your ballot and theirs? And you won't believe this. Megan Wolf had to put out a directive saying you have to mail only your own ballot because Wisconsin law, according to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, says you have to, voters have to place their ballots in the mail. Now, what does that mean? If, you know, lawyers are paid to kind of nickel and dime language to a ridiculous extent. Voters have to mail their ballots. Okay, I can mail my ballots in a lot of ways. Where I am, the postal worker will come by and deliver the mail, and if you clip an outgoing letter or a ballot or anything else, they'll take it and bring it to the post office for you. Is that permitted? Everybody in the state, a lot of people on routes where postal service comes by, do that right now. If your mother or dad were handicapped, are you kidding me? And they say, honey, could you please mail my ballot along with yours? You're not going to do it? The Wisconsin Supreme Court and the Wisconsin legislature are deliberately keeping that at least vague and coming out and saying you can't do it. So if they don't like the results of an election, they can say that that happened. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Municipal clerks around the state have asked for advice. Since you can't have lockboxes anymore, what happens if you go into a clerk's office during business hours and there's a box to put it in, but no physical clerk? Is that okay? Well, that's very clearly okay. And they're kind of shifty about that, but yes, you can do that. You can do that. Barbara Beckert, who's the head of the Milwaukee Office for Disability Rights, pointed out that federal law controls state. Federal law says that you can mail the ballot of a disabled person. The Wisconsin Supreme Court was shifty on that to try to breed uncertainty. So she said, but she's only the head of the Milwaukee Office for Disability. If you have a disabled person who asks you to mail their ballot, you can do it. The Republican lame duck gerrymandered legislature is not only not addressing this, but what they're doing is they are going to vote on a regulation to forbid clerks to even do what are called ministerial corrections to ballots to make them compliant. What do I mean by that? That's lawyer talk. What it means is there might be a trivial, I don't know, thing that they can do on the ballot. You do this in nomination papers all the time. There might be a signature that says your name and then put apostrophe 22, meaning 2022. A clerk right now can write in 20 for 22. What do they think it is, 1922? They think the person's 100 years old? And if they were born in 1922, they're 100 years old, and this is what they're doing? What do you think, it's 2122? They came out of the future? What, 1822? They're 200 years old? You know, this is gamesmanship with our democracy. And I've said this before, that fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. From the great Carl Sandburg poem, The Fog Creeps In on Little Cat's Feet. Fascism creeps in one lawyer at a time, one bill at a time, one brief at a time, even one press release at a time where somebody questions an election, they're lying about it, which is most Republicans. That's how it creeps in. It infects a society. It infects a society to the point where they are demoralized to get rid of their own democracy and their own right to vote. And I wouldn't have thought that could happen in the United States. I've read plenty about Nazi Germany and how it happened in the 30s. You know, Hitler got in after the 1932 elections. And he seemed reasonable. He said, look, all I'm trying to do is restore Germany, give me complete power for a couple of years. The very next year, he outlawed all other political parties. They started to kill people right away. He didn't wait till World War II. He started it right away. We have fascists in the Republican Party right now. And you may think, come on, Matt, that's a strong word. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But fascism does not mean troops at your door with guns, and it does not mean a bunch of guys at your door with medals and uniforms and all that. It can be a lawyer who flies into Mitchell Field, files a brief, flies into Madison, files a brief, puts out disinformation. You have the state legislature absolutely captured by the anti-democratic forces. Not just on the environment, we were talking about that, but on voting. They will not come out and say that you can mail ballots, forget drop boxes, for people other than yourself and your household, or if they're handicapped. They won't say that. Federal law says you can for people with disabilities. What does that mean? What the Republican Party is trying to do is kind of precautionarily set it up so that if the elections in 2022 or 2024 take a bad bounce for them, they'll say people, quote, broke the law, end quote, by, quote, ballot harvesting, end quote, by mailing ballots that weren't theirs. And there will be people who will then call for the legislature to pick the electors in the presidential race. There will be people who will call on the courts to overturn a governor race. The Republican Party has drifted into fascism. It's not a nice way of saying it. There are not enough Liz Cheneys and not enough Adam Kinzingers. Let me tell you something. And this is somebody who's I've thought a lot about and I've changed my opinion on him. Can you name a single Republican in this state, a single one, who is like Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger, who will just flat out say that the 2020 election was valid and truthful, was not rigged? Do you have a single one? And the answer is, yeah, you have one. Only one. Only one. And that's Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House after John Boehner got squeezed out by they were not Trumpers then, they were Tea Party types, Freedom Caucus types. And Ryan did a very good job trying to keep them under control. But the fact is, that he was anti-Trump even during the 2016 race. He saw what was happening. He saw that he would not get reelected as Speaker by the Republican caucus, and he ultimately yielded the minority, and then they lost the Congress in 2018. They lost the majority, turned it over to Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin McCarthy is somebody who has absolutely no integrity, no sense of shame. He got up on the floor of the House right after the January 6th insurrection and said, that's it. This has to be investigated, called for a commission. Then he saw the polls, went down, sucked up to Trump, and he came around and he said, well, this is a tempest in a teapot, and he wouldn't put people on the commission other than people like Jim Jordan, who had conspired with Trump in the White House in December of 2020 to launch the insurrection. And that's what happened. So here you have it. In this state, there's going to be a fight over something as stupid as mailing a ballot for somebody else in your household, even if they're handicapped. This is the work of the Republican Party. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, crept into the Republican Party. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Off to my left, right, a dozen more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose's back door.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there is an intense fight in the Republican Party. There is trench warfare in the Republican Party. And unfortunately, I'm not referring to, say, the Liz Cheneys and the Adam Kinzingers. Liz Cheney has put down history as the Joan of Arc of American history right now by standing up to Trump and the attack on our democracy. I'm not talking about that. I wish I were. I wish there were a lot of Liz Cheneys and Adam Kinzingers, but there are not. But I'm talking about is a fight between the Trump people and the mainstream Democratic or mainstream Republican Party, who want to do many of the things that Trump did, but do it in a less dramatic way, do it in a less obvious way, and try not to get all the lightning strikes of hate against them the way Trump does. And the main representatives of these two strains in the Republican Party, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, the vice president. Now, Mike Pence is a guy with no shame, and he's a very weird guy. He's as strange as a $3 bill, this guy. No one wants him as president, but he wants to be president, and he has a problem. He has a problem. When you have the Trump base of the party building a gallows and walking through the halls going, hang Mike Pence, you know, you might look at that and say, he's going to have an uphill battle. Really, you think so? An uphill battle? Getting these guys. Well, Mike Pence is doggedly out there doing it. His endorsed candidate, Kemp, in Georgia, beat Trump's endorsed candidate. And now Pence is down in Arizona campaigning against the Trump candidates, The main one is Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake is really bad news. She is a Trump type down there. She was an anchor in the Phoenix area. And, you know, she's an attractive one. She sort of reminds me of Kristi Noem and Kim Reynolds and people like that, the Duchess of Foxconn and all that. Nothing more than Trump clones. She is called Fake Lake down there. And not by the Democrats. She's called Fake Lake down there by the Republicans. She is running against someone that Pence is supporting. Trump has supported Fake Lake. In the Senate race down there, there's a fellow endorsed by Trump named Blake Masters, who's a guy, came out of Stanford about 12 years ago. He was pro-choice and pro-open borders. He was the left of the Democratic Party. Now he suddenly goes, no, I'm Trump, just like J.D. Vance in Ohio. I got a question, for Pete's sake. How stupid are people? Are they going to fall for a guy like J.D. Vance or this Blake Masters down there going, okay, I'm pro-choice and I'm pro-open borders and blah, blah. Oh, okay. I'm going to switch 180 degrees and go Trump. Do people fall for this stuff? Do they want to even see people that degraded? Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend, you're first in line. Thanks for calling, Dick. What's on your mind today?
I'm going to try and go with something positive like we talked about or you did each week, come up with something.
Good.
All right. Gas prices are going down. That's good. They're not where they should be in correlation to the barrel price right now. I did some research, and they should be about $3.35 to $3.40 a gallon, where they're about $3.75, $3.80. Okay, next thing. Everybody, you know, whining about this economy. Lowest unemployment rate in 52 years. The dollar is strong, the strongest currency in the world right now. What people seem to forget is we came out of a pandemic when production went way, way down in across the board and everything. So, duh, you're going to have these supply chain problems coming out of one. Now demand is way up. Now you got to find a way to tinker around with that, I understand, to try and beat inflation down or a recession down. But we're doing that way better than Europe and then the rest of the world.
Right. Now, Dick, you're hitting the nail on the head. I love the positive stuff, Dick. I love the positive stuff. You've given the data. Gas prices are coming down. Republicans can't stand it. They always like to yell inflation after they screwed up everything else under Trump. Now that's coming down. Unemployment, like you say, strongest since 1968, strongest dollar. Thanks a lot for calling in. That's great stuff. Nick of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Nick?
Hey, Matt. Hey, thanks for taking my call. The reason I was calling is I was actually thinking about something you talked about last week. And first of all, I'm a conservative, but I think I'm reasonable. And I cannot stand Trump. I always told people that who supported Trump that I know that, you know, if he strangled a puppy in front of you, you would admire his technique. But then last week you said that, you know, Joe Biden will go down as possibly one of the best presidents in U.S. history. And, Matt, I don't see it. You're no different and no better in that respect.
You know, Nick, you're a good man. I really love to get a good, principled, smart conservative like you calling in. And I'm going to ask you to keep doing it. I really like that comment. And what you're describing is some radio hyperbole. Remember, radio is a hot medium. TV is a cool medium. In radio, you overstate by 10%. TV, you understate. Radio, in TV, you look heavier than you are. And in radio, you seem more of a lightweight unless you go strong. What I'm talking about is that. Is Joe Biden like Abraham Lincoln or Franklin Roosevelt? No. I mean, I understand that 100%. But Joe Biden came in, and he's an older guy. And our democracy is under attack, Nick. And you have some magnificent people in your party. You have Liz Cheney. You have Adam Kinzinger. Frankly, I think a lot of Mitt Romney, frankly. I mean, he's sort of standing up. I think a lot of Paul Ryan. That's what I want to see back in power in the Republican Party. We need two parties, and we need a principled conservative party. So you have to understand that when I say that, here's what Joe Biden has done. He's put NATO back together again. He's strengthened the EU. He's formed a mini NATO in Asia to counter China, which is Japan, South Korea, Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, Vietnam. I thought he did not do a good job withdrawing from Afghanistan. I'll say that to you. At the same time, we are out of Afghanistan. People say, well, the terrorists are back. The Taliban, listen, you have an Islamic society. They believe in Sharia and they believe in jihad. There's nothing we can do about that. In some more enlightened states like Turkey and Egypt, what they do is they clamp down on their jihadists. But the truth of the matter is, Islam, the word, means submission, and jihad means struggle. That's not Joe Biden's fault. Now, the other thing I think he's done a very good job on is getting us through the pandemic financially, and then right now gas prices are coming down. And there's a lot of things He's accommodating, I think, the identity politics cult of the left too much, the squad. But on balance, he's been masterful. He's flying the plane in a storm. So, Nick, that's my view. No, is he Abraham Lincoln? But if for any reason Joe Biden says, you know, I've done my time, I've done my duty, I've been in the Senate or vice president most of the time since 1972, that's 50 years, time for somebody else, okay. Gavin Newsom is going to be one of the front runners. So is J.B. Pritzker of Illinois, and there's a couple of others. However, on July 4th, Newsom went all in, and he goes, he runs ads, a couple of hundred grand worth in Florida, attacking DeSantis, which wasn't difficult because DeSantis is bad news. In any event, people said to you, oh, you know, Gavin, okay, first of all, the presidential race isn't for two more years. Secondly, Joe Biden may run again, and there are a lot of people, and I'll say this, including me, who hope he does run again. And third, doing it 2 years in advance, what does that accomplish? And Gavin Newsom came out with a very simple statement. He said he got ticked off at DeSantis because DeSantis had threatened, believe it or not, to fine the Special Olympics over its vaccine mandate. Now, how bad is that? How bad is that? The Special Olympics are a wonderful organization that was initially promoted and partially funded by the Kennedy family. And these are youngsters with disabilities. These are youngsters with special needs. And they get to compete and they get medals, and seeing those competitions and seeing the joy on their faces and the pride is the most wonderful thing in the world. And the Special Olympics put in a vaccine mandate because those youngsters were at, frankly, at special risk, many of them. If you have issues, if you have immunity issues, it would have been a terrible thing not to have required vaccines. So they had a vaccine mandate. Very, very reasonable. You know, I've been vaccinated and have had two boosters. But certainly if you're dealing with youngsters who are immunocompromised in some cases, there should be a vaccine mandate. But Florida under DeSantis had put out their rules opposing vaccine mandates and threatening punitive action, lawsuits, and in some cases, fining them. And he threatened to fine the Special Olympics if they didn't withdraw their vaccine mandate, which was intended to protect immunocompromised youngsters with special needs. And Gavin Newsom said, I'm not putting up with that. And he ran ads, and good for him. Good for him. Very, very glad he did that. That's a very wonderful thing that he did. And the other thing is, as the Republicans come up, there is this fight within the Republican Party between the Trump people and the mainstream. Sadly, the Adam Kinzingers and Liz Cheney's and Mitt Romney's and others, Paul Ryan's, don't have a critical mass enough to warrant a civil war. But there is a civil war going on between, on the one hand, the Trump people, the crazies, and on the other hand, the mainstream, who have been insulted by Trump, who have been opposed by Trump in the primaries. But if they get in, they are going to be very similar to Trump, but without the drama, without the diva singing the aria at the top of her voice. And nobody wants my advice in the Republican Party, but I'm going to give it on Ron DeSantis. You can't elect a guy who doesn't smile. You can't elect a guy who people think might be mean or something. You have to smile and look like you're open. You know, Ronald Reagan smiled and looked like he was open, and he did a lot of things that a lot of people attacked him for, but he got away with it. I don't think you can nominate a guy who doesn't smile. Just me, just saying it. Okay, we're going back to the lines in order. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, you're next. Thanks for going. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. Wonderful topic, as usual. On smiling, you know, if people don't smile, people don't want to listen to you. Who wants to walk up to a guy that looks like he just lost his best friend and he's going to lead us? No, you know, you've got to have a smile. You, like you said, you got to be open. But getting back to Gavin Newsom, you'd probably make the best campaign man ever asked. You know politics. You know it. You know, and I'm not teasing. People need people like you. I talked about you running, and you said, no, that's not for me. I get that. But your talent, your ability, you've been around, you know the ropes. As Joe goes, Joe's doing a wonderful job. And if you don't think so, just turn on Fox. Fox will do everything to make him look up, including their subtitles. They'll say, you know, Biden's poll numbers crashing, Biden failing. They are terrified to address the elephant in the room. I called him one time. I said, how come you guys talk about everything but the elephant in the room? And they said, what's the elephant in the room? I started laughing. I said, you proved to me our democracy, if we get any more Trump Republicans in. You guys can't understand it or comprehend it. You think you're going to worry about the price of gas. I'll tell you what, if another Trumpite gets in, gas will be not even something you're going to worry about. Inflation is not going to worry about. What you're going to worry about is your country's been taken over and you... What you do, Matt. Keep it up. Great job.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill. Thanks for calling. As always, my friend. Next, we're going to go to Robert of West Allis. Robert, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Robert?
Good morning. I'm glad you mentioned DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. A few weeks ago, they had the World Games in Alabama. And again, getting back to the point, they're an anti-freedom death cult. They had no precautions in place. No procedures in place. They brought in whole teams from other countries knowing they had COVID. And guess what happened? It spread like wildfire down there. All kinds of people sick, all kinds of people held up in hotel rooms, having to wait quarantine period. It defies common sense with these people. They're completely insane. So I'm not surprised DeSantis did it because we just saw it 2 weeks ago in Alabama with the World Games. That's all I wanted to add. Thanks.
Yeah. Robert, excellent comment. Yeah. And I'm going to get back to this before I go to the next caller. I mean, when you think about this, who in their right mind would threaten to fine an organization that had a vaccine mandate because they dealt with immunocompromised youngsters with special needs? I mean, I would think you'd order them to have a vaccine mandate, but they were going to be fined. And what about the youngsters? If you're immunocompromised and you have special issues and you get COVID and you're not vaccinated and the adults around you are not vaccinated, you are at much greater risk of at least hospitalization, being on a ventilator, and maybe death. This is not right, quite frankly. I'm just calling this out. This is not right. Going back to the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Well, it's just that crap crazy what's going on with the Republican Party these days, that you know, the whole vaccine mandate thing is that how a disease became so political because Trump flapped his mouth in an offhand comment, more or less, and probably wasn't so offhand, probably plotted it all the way through. But, I mean, people have died because of the decisions that Donald Trump and Republicans have made because, oh, we don't want to have a vaccine mandate, we don't want to have a mask mandate, we can't have that. I mean, we had the one Republican that nearly died here in the state of Wisconsin because he was anti-vax and anti-mask up to the point where he was in the hospital, had a tube shoved into his lungs to keep him breathing. I mean, that it is just crazy. And the Republicans who do not think, they don't take any kind of humanity into account at all. Now I see where Roberts is fast-tracking the bill to make forced children to have parental permission to have an abortion. Well, what if the person seeking the abortion is not sophisticated enough to know to go to the courts, and the person who raped her, causing the needs for the abortion, is a parent? I mean, it is just we've gone off the rails, and the Republicans think that they are. I don't know. I just, you know,
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And let me.
I'm struggling.
Yeah, well, the point of the matter is there is a split in the Republican Party right now. And, you know, you heard Nick of Madison call in a principal conservative, and there are many. And some who I admire immensely. And right at the list is, frankly, Liz Cheney. And right along with her is Adam Kinzinger. I think Paul Ryan has spoken out for our democracy, and I think that Mitt Romney has spoken out for our democracy. The Republicans who speak out for our democracy and let the chips fall where they may are exactly what we need in the political discourse. You can't have a party or a country with one party. You had that in Mexico for 60 years, and it became corrupted. You must have some adversary, good faith adversary discussions on issues. You just have to. However, when it gets to the kind of the weird fringes, and I'm going to get back to this, and I don't know how you can say it even more starkly. But the fact is that if you have an organization like the Special Olympics, and the body of work they do is with immunocompromised youngsters, how in Pete's sake can you not have a vaccine mandate? But at least, why would the governor say he was going to fine you? Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a development in the Republican Party. I've talked to you about the split. This one blew me away. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky now blames Senator Mitch McConnell, also of Kentucky, for, quote, tanking the deal on a Kentucky pro-life judge named Chad Meredith getting an appointment. And yet it was Rand Paul who refused to return the blue slip for Chad Meredith's appointment. I've never seen anything like this. It shows that Rand Paul and some of the other libertarian types and the Trumpers are going to turn on Mitch McConnell if the Republicans get the majority and won't vote for him for majority leader of the Senate. Now, I don't think they are going to get the majority. Our candidates are looking pretty good, especially after the January 6th commission and the overturning of Roe v. Wade. But if, God forbid, they did get in, old Moscow Mitch has his work cut out for him. The clown Rand Paul has disgraced himself in the Senate his entire career. He's the guy that votes against admissions to NATO. Montenegro was supposed to be admitted to NATO, and he held it up just to be a jerk, just to be a weirdo. He's just a weird jerk is what he is, a weird jerk. But for him to come out and say that it's McConnell who tanked the deal on the Kentucky pro-life judge, and when he himself wouldn't return the blue slip, let me unpack that for you. Biden and McConnell made a deal. McConnell was pushing a guy named Chad Meredith to be a federal judge. Chad Meredith is pro-life. Biden agreed in return for Moscow Mitch not blocking a lot of other of Biden's appointments. And if you think, oh, well, that's terrible. By the way, he did it before the Supreme Court opinion in Roe v. Wade. No one thought that one judge at the trial level in Kentucky amounted to a hill of beans. Abraham Lincoln, how do you think the 13th Amendment got passed? Abraham Lincoln, and how do you think, by the way, in the Emancipation Proclamation that he got the Congress behind him? Because he went to individual congressmen and bribed them. He promised some of them postmasterships. In those days, the postmaster got a slice of the postage, very lucrative. And also, some import-export jobs where they could take a slice of exports. Yeah, it was crooked as a dog's hind leg. And you know what? He got the 13th Amendment passed. Abraham Lincoln is what I'm talking about, the greatest president in our history. So, okay, he makes this deal with Moscow Mitch. And then, of course, Roe v. Wade gets overturned. And then all hell breaks loose. Joe's taking a lot of heat. but he wants the rest of his judges in, and he's about to go ahead. But there is an odd little procedural rule in the Senate. Every senator has what's called a blue slip or a blue card. If there is a federal appointment in his state or her state, they have to return it, which means they don't object. If they object, it doesn't happen. Moscow Mitch, when he ran the Senate, got rid of that blue slip for Court of Appeals appointments, but not for trial judge appointments. It was Rand Paul who didn't return the blue slip, not Moscow Mitch. And you know what Rand Paul said? I didn't return it. He said, I love Chad Meredith, but I didn't return it because his feelings were hurt because he was not included in the negotiations. He said, Moscow Mitch and Biden, quote, lacked the courtesy to involve him. What's really going on in this? The jackals like Rand Paul are circling the wounded lion. Joe Biden's not going to sit and negotiate with Rand Paul. Rand Paul was in on the insurrection. Rand Paul is a disgusting individual who's disliked by all senators. He said his feelings were hurt. He wanted attention. This level of dissent, dissatisfaction, split and civil war in the Republican Party is going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And you are going to see the mother of all elections, whether it's for majority leader or again for minority leader on the Republican side, when they put up a wounded old lion, flea-bitten old dog, Moscow Mitch, and all these people like the Rand Pauls, people who had stabbed the United States in the back and continually do, and go against them, and that's what's happening. And speaking of which, you think this isn't going on in the Democratic Party? This is why Biden has been so masterful. Let me introduce you to Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Joe Manchin stuck a knife in Biden's soft infrastructure plans on climate, many other things. But Manchin said, if you do it on pharmacy and Affordable Care Act subsidies, I will do this. I will support something that lowers drug prices and gives a 2-year extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies. That's all I'll do. Without Manchin's vote, everything else is toast, including the international agreement with 100 countries to have a minimum tax on corporations of 15%, which is quite low. Most corporations pay no taxes at all. And if we just did it in the United States, everybody would move somewhere else and come after us. But he stuck a knife in that. The reason that he will support lower drug prices is because plenty of folks in West Virginia are elderly and they want drug prices down. And if he didn't support a 2-year extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies, then many people in West Virginia would be thrown off of health care. So he goes, that's all I'll do. Okay? So Biden goes, well, that's all you'll do. Then I will put through a slimmed down bill, and I will address climate change and some of these other issues through executive order. The problem with that is you have a Republican Supreme Court who will also stab any Democratic initiative. They may overturn his executive orders, but at least he can do something. And by the way, I'm going to give a message to the squad and to the progressives in our party. I'm tired of you attacking Joe Biden. I'm tired of you stabbing him in the back. He's being stabbed in the back by Republicans and standing up to Russia and Ukraine on everything. They stab a wartime president. They will injure a Democratic president, injure the United States, so they can get their worthless carcasses back into power. But he does not need to be stabbed in the back by the squad and by so-called progressives. I'm tired of that. They're really the Working Families Party or the Socialist Party. They're not the Democratic Party. They're in the Democratic Party, but they run primary candidates against good Democratic incumbents. I'm tired of that too. So word, stop going against this in any event. Here is the sneaky trick of Manson. You think Rand Paul is sneaky? You think Moscow Mitch is a wounded old lion? Well, Biden's not a wounded old lion in the Democratic Party. He's the president. But here's the sneaky thing. Manchin goes, all right, I'm throwing out climate, throwing out anything on tax reform, anything. I'll only do drug prices and a two-year extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies. And you know something? Kyrsten Sinema gets all her money from pharmaceutical companies. She's lying in the weeds. I will predict that what she is going to do and come back and say, okay, but I'm not, I'll do climate and taxes, but I'm not going to do the other. Connor, open up the lines. Is it, we have somebody on the line with Jean of Eau Claire. Jean just got lost. If she comes back on, put her on. That's what's happening here. It's a Mr. Bones routine. One of them won't do taxes and won't do climate. The other one won't do drug prices and Affordable Care Act subsidies. So this kind of chicanery is not going on just in the Republican Party between Moscow Mitch and Rand Paul. It's going on in the Democratic Party with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And it's wrong, very, very wrong. But stand by. There will be intense pressure on Sinema if she tanks anything with pharmaceuticals and Obamacare. One final issue I want to hit. There's a woman named Nina Jankowicz of the Department of Homeland Security. And she has criticized now Chuck Grassley and Josh Hawley, two Republicans, for lying about her yielding to death threats against her. What is she talking about? Department of Homeland Security had put together a commission internally to counter Trump lies. They were ginning up people to go to school board meetings and lie about things like critical race theory and all this stuff. And there was violence in some cases. And they were putting out correctives. She was in charge of it. So Grassley and Hawley both accused her of herself spreading disinformation for countering what was being done at these school board meetings. She resigned, and now she's getting death threats. Grassley, by the way, is a fossil. He should be mounted along with Tyrannosaurus Rex in the museum in New York, Museum of National History. He is a withered, dried-up old grasshopper. There is no way that he is providing value, and he certainly shouldn't be shooting his mouth off, leading to death threats. And Josh Hawley is just a real twink. This guy is bad news. This guy is very bad news. He gave the raised fists of approval, member of the insurrection. Coming to the end of the show, great show. Matt Flynn Direct will be back, same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.